Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
United Healthcare nurse Crystal checked in on a patient.
We do a routine call after surgery, and I could tell in her voice that she was struggling.
Crystal knew she needed help.
And I knew that this is very serious. This is like septic. This is life-threatening.
And she knew just what to do.
And I called the hospital and said, she's coming in. Here are her labs.
And got her the help she needed.
I see my role at United Healthcare as a life-saving role.
Hear more stories like Crystal's at UHC.com. Benefits, features, and or devices vary by plan area. Limitation and exclusions apply.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
If you don't have an opinion, he'll give you one.
He's blunt. It's the John Chuckery Show on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Back at a Chuckery Show. Halfway home on this Monday evening with you. 404-726-0929. That is our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line to be a part of the show. We'll get to That's Life coming up in about 20 minutes from right now. You heard the promo. So Wednesday night, we got Atlanta United soccer coming up. But I will be out at Hampton and Hudson from 7 to 9. So come on by. It's on North High. What is that? Is that? So I heard that's not Inman Park. That's in the Highlands, right?
Yeah, no, I was going to say that's not Inman Park, I don't think.
Yeah, so North Highland Avenue, I believe. And Hampton and Hudson. So come on by. I'll be out there from 7 to 9. So come hang out with us. Watch some Atlanta United. And excuse me. Something went down the wrong throat. But come out and watch some Atlanta United with us. And we got some giveaways and all that good kind of stuff. So we'll be hanging out there for a couple of hours. But the Atlanta Braves. So it is remarkable that, you know, when you look at what this team has done at 60-29, battling through injuries and everything else, answering all of the different questions that they've had, you know, think about, and I talked about this on my podcast here recently, look at how they've lost an MVP first baseman, a Gold Glove shortstop, maybe one of the better shortstops in all of Major League Baseball. They lost a guy who was who was their closer last year that led the league. I think led the league in saves in the National League or finished somewhere in the top two or three in saves in the National League. They've had all of these losses. They lost an all-star catcher off their roster. And through all of that, this team sits at 60-29. They lose Dansby Swanson, no problem. Orlando Arcia is the starting all-star shortstop. They lose Freddie Freeman, the MVP, no problem. Matt Olson's having a monster year. He's on pace to break the home run record in a season for the Braves, and they've signed him long term. They lost William Contreras, an all-star catcher, no problem. Sean Murphy is a top five MVP candidate. Make no mistake about it. Sean Murphy is a top five MVP candidate. Ronnie is the runaway winner of the MVP award in the National League. It's not, and by the way, it's not even close. It's not close among voters. It's not close in betting with Vegas. It's not even close. He's the runaway winner. And it's all coming to fruition this year for Ronnie. But Sean Murphy is a guy that Freddie's probably in that top five, but Sean Murphy's in that top five as well. He's been outstanding for this team as both obviously a dominant defensive catcher, but he's been outstanding offensively. And again, it's a matter of getting him out of Oakland Alameda Coliseum. 17 homers, 55 RBI, 306 with a 400 on-base percentage, and a 999 OPS in just 67 games. So only played 67 games, only had 232 at-bats, and yet he's got 17 homers and 55 RBI at the catcher position. And think about Austin Riley has not had a breakout week or two where he just crushes everything. Michael Harris has not dominated the way that we saw him last year dominate. But again, they're still contributing to this team and doing things that don't always necessarily show up in the box score. Michael Harris is 11 steals with one caught stealing. He's not striking out as much. He's walking at a little bit higher rate. And Arcia is a plus war defensive player. Michael Harris is a plus war defensive player. They're doing all of the little things that are right. And then we talk about all the injuries to their starting pitching staff. Right? Guy after guy after guy after guy that's gone down. And yet Strider and Elder are right there in the All-Star game. It is remarkable that when you think about that 2020 draft class, and we've talked about this before on the show, that we've said this 2020 draft class could go down as one of the great draft classes in Braves history, if for no other reason than Schuster, Elder, and Strider came out of that draft class. That's two All-Stars that you've already gotten out of this draft class. And I think the stat that I saw, and I believe that it was Spencer Strider is only the second pitcher in baseball history or modern baseball history. And let's see here. I'll give you the stat in just a second here. So Spencer Strider joins Max Scherzer, okay? So how about this? Max Scherzer and Spencer Strider, the only guys. Let's see here. Strider is the second player in the All-Star era since 1933, okay? So that's when the All-Star game started. He's only the second player in the All-Star era to strike out 160 batters and allow 80 hits or fewer entering the All-Star break. He joins Max Scherzer in 2017 when he went on to take home the NL Cy Young Award. Now think about that. 160 strikeouts and fewer than 80 hits. What have we talked about all year long about Spencer Strider? You know, again, other than that rough patch, he was, you know, for a while there, he was leading the league in fewest hits per nine innings. Wasn't giving up many homers. Wasn't allowing base runners on. He had an incredible strikeout-to-walk ratio. And here he's sitting with 11 wins and a 160-plus strikeouts. To be fair, excuse me, it's 166 to be exact, in 104 innings. 14.3 strikeout per nine ratio, 4.88 strikeout to walk ratio with a 1.089 whip, only giving up 6.9 hits per nine innings and sitting at 11-2 with a 3.44 ERA. It's remarkable. Now, and again, that draft class is going to go down as a legendary class. If Schuster, Elder, Strider can stay on the pathways that they're on and they can continue to grow, there's no reason not to think that these aren't, you know, one of the best draft classes in Braves history. I don't know all of the Braves draft classes. I'm sure that there are probably one or two that are right there near the top with everything. But certainly, when you look at that 2020 class, and you think about how much these guys have done in a short amount of time, and the fact that 3 years ago Spencer Strider was pitching for Clemson University, it is remarkable. But they have gotten contribution out of contribution. Look, Eddie Rosario, we talked about this at the top of the show. Now you feel like you probably don't have to go out and desperately have to find a left fielder. You don't feel like that you have to go out and find a guy who can play every day in left field. You could probably get a guy that comes off your bench and maybe, you know, hits left-handed pitching well. But Rosario has proven himself that, okay, he's now back on track to be able to hold down an everyday spot. Marcell Ozuna. You know, he's been one of the few, you know, bright spots, and for the start that he got off to, think about how bad his first part of the year was, and the fact that he has really blossomed and he's held his own, right? He's played in 73 games. He's got 17 homers, 40 RBI, and hitting 250. Like, he's contributing, right? He's never going to be a huge on-base guy. He's never going to be a huge RBI guy. But he's contributing, not just his home runs, because that's what's made him a one-trick pony, but he is contributing some other runs and scoring some runs and hitting for a decent enough average that at .323 on base with a .250 batting average, he's doing a lot of good things. And think about how Travis d'Arnaud has kind of accepted that role of not being the everyday catcher. And that's why I like the idea of having Travis d'Arnaud on this club, that his ego doesn't get in the way, that he's got to be an everyday player at this point of his career at 34 years old. He knows. Even guys like Kevin Pillar have had contributions on this offense. And their offense has obviously been outstanding. On track to set the modern-day record of 907 runs, I think it is, from the 2003 Braves. But you're getting contribution after contribution after contribution from every part of their lineup, from every part of their staff. Yeah, I could see the idea that they would add a bullpen piece or two, but you don't feel like you have to add much of anything else. You feel like you've got first world problems. You feel like you're not in a desperate situation now to have to add a starting pitcher or a high caliber starting pitcher, because you're going to get Max Fried back here soon. So if I've got Fried, Elder, Strider, Morton, and if, you know, Michael Soroka, assuming that he, you know, again, when Kyle Wright comes back, that's just even more. And you don't have to, and you don't feel like you have to rush him back. So again, it is remarkable when you look at everything about this club, from the player development to Alex Anthopoulos, the general manager, to their scouting department, to Brian Snitker, to everybody in this organization, that they've gotten contributions out of everyone and everything in this organization. And that's why they're the best team in the National League. Maybe in Major League Baseball. They just beat the team that 2 out of 3 games on their home field that had been the best team in baseball. And part of that was, you know, because of that hot start they got off to. What, they win 12 or 13 games in a row to start the season?
13.
Yep. So they were 13-0 to start the season. So, again, if you take that away, they've not been nearly as good as what the Braves, you know, have been for it. But, again, this team has been outstanding. I haven't even talked about Ozzie Albies, who's back on track now. You know, he's profiling to be another 30-homer, 100 RBI, 100-run kind of season for this team. Again, everybody has had a hand in the success of this club, and that's why it's the deepest lineup in baseball. It's been a pitching staff that, through all of their injuries, has maintained and found a way to get it done. They've been able to overcome those injuries because the guys that they have stepped up. And Morton has done the same thing. Look, Morton's got 9 wins going into the break. He's on pace for a 200 strikeout season. And this may be his last year. Now, this may be his swan song, his finale, what have you. But again, Fried, right? And Fried's got one more year after this year. So he's a free agent at the end of 2024. But Fried, Wright, Strider, Elder, Soroka, you know, and then Schuster and Dodd, like, they have a plethora of starting pitching. Now, again, we've seen you can't have too much starting pitching, but my point is that when you get everybody healthy and ready to go, you've got a lot of options. Now, I don't know how often guys are going to stay healthy through 162-game season, but you feel like you have lots of options in that. You feel like you're blessed because of all of the pitching that you do have on this club. And it's a situation where they've done a fantastic job of scouting and developing their young players. whether it's been their pitching staff, whether it's been Michael Harris, you know, again, they've done an outstanding job of being able to elevate guys from the minor leagues and have them have success. Whereas there were times when we've seen lots of pitchers that came up and did not have any success, that they were on that Partridge Family bus that was shuttling between Buford and Smyrna. But now they've got a really good core, and it's why they're the best team in the National League. That they've got their group, and everybody's contributing. They're deep. They're loaded. They're talented. This is the best team in all of Major League Baseball. All right, that's life when we get back. More people who are getting what they deserve because of Tic Tac. Chuck Renekia Studios, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the Odyssey.com app.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Don't let the holidays derail your fitness. Stay on track with Hydro. 20 minutes rowing on a Hydro targets 86% of your muscles as Olympians guide you from incredible locations worldwide. Running can't compete. That's why 90% stick with Hydro a year later. GQ named the Hydro Arc the best rower of 2025. And every Hydro comes with free shipping, a 30-day trial, and warranty. Go to Hydro.com code FIT and save up to $600 on your next Hydro. Hydro.com code FIT.
Heather is a nurse practitioner from United Healthcare.
We meet patients wherever they live.
During a house call, she found Jack had an issue.
Jack's blood pressure was dangerously high.
It was 217 over 110.
So they got Jack to the hospital and got him the help he needed.
He had had a stent placed in his heart, preventing a massive heart attack.
If it wasn't for my guardian angel, I wouldn't be here.
Hear more stories like Jack's at unitedhealthcare.com. Benefits, features, and/or devices vary by plan. Area limitation and exclusions apply.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus. From Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them. And you really have to know them to break them.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman, new season, streaming November 16th, only on Paramount Plus.
Nights with John. It's the John Chuckery Show.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Back at it, John Chuckery Show. 9:21 live from the Kia Studios. You know what time it is.
That's life.
That's life.
That's what all the people say.
404-726-0929. That is our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line to be a part of the show. Odyssey app is how you catch us on the go. Social media is at 929 The Game. I'm at JMCH316. How about this, Dom? So Day-Day and I talk a lot about this, that there are so many people that do these stupid Tic Tac challenges, right? Are you on Tic Tac?
I have one, but I do not use it really at all.
So the only reason I don't even have an account, but I monitor my daughter's Tic Tacs,
right?
Because there are so many stupid people on here, and we've talked about all kinds of examples: people jumping out in front of traffic, doing all kinds of stupid stuff for these challenges, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So. The latest one is jumping from a boat that's moving at a high rate of speed. Okay? Four people have already died from this challenge. And you know why four people have died? Because that's the only four people that they can account for that have died doing this challenge. TikTok boat challenge, boat jumping challenge that sees people jump off vessels moving at high speed is blamed for four deaths in Alabama as cops say victims broke their neck instantly. You know what? That's called natural selection. It's the bottom of the freaking food chain, okay? Yeah. It's the bottom of the food chain when you get to that level. And we talk about how stupid these people are doing these idiotic challenges. You know, that's called thinning the herd, man.
I agree. TikTok was... Just do the dances, guys. Like, just stick with the nice little dances. You know, you doing all the little cute stuff, shaking your hips, all that. Have some fun with it. But like, come on, let's rein it back in, please.
Just again, it's just ridiculous how stupid some of these people are. But I mean, that's what we deal with in our society. All right, this is also a fun story. So, the Chinese government is investigating a restaurant in China that has challenged its customers to eat more than 100 dumplings in return for a free meal, okay? Local authorities in Yibin City, Y-I-B-I-N, in the southwestern province of Sichuan, S-I-C-H-U-A-N, swooped in on the restaurant after hearing its King of Big Stomach challenge. The challenge reportedly involved patrons competing to eat 108 spicy wonton dumplings as quick as possible to win a free meal and additional prizes. They said the restaurant had advertised on social media to entice patrons, only to find itself in the hot seat when the State Administration for Market Regulation said it would open up an investigation into whether it had breached the law surrounding food waste.
Huh.
While eating contests are relatively common in Western countries and can be bring fame to their winners like Joey Chestnut, right?
Yep.
All right. They can be a sensitive matter in countries like China. Many in the country still have memories of the famine of the 50s and 60s that killed an estimated 45 million people. Well, you know, again, because they're such a free and, you know, libertarian society. Oh, they're not? Oh, okay. Chi-coms. The cover said the restaurant, which it did not name, was one of several being probed by authorities over similar competitions. The Chinese leader, Xi Jinping, has in the past called food waste a shocking and distressing, and in March this year said agricultural supplies were the likely foundation of national security. Now think about that. Think about how much food we waste in this country.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, think about how much food we just don't ever consume. And yet those people are, you know, living hand to mouth, right? So, again, if you're going to offer a dumpling eating contest in China, just be aware. By the way, who would want 108 spicy wonton dumplings to start with?
I was going to say, how many do you think you could eat?
Not many.
See, yeah. I like spicy food, so like I think I could get to 20 before I. Well, it also depends on how big the dumplings.
I'm not even that crazy about dumplings. Like, I don't mind dumplings. Uh-huh. I like dumplings.
Yeah,
the spiciness would get to me as well. But I'm not even that excited about eating a whole bunch of dumplings. You know, to start with.
Fair.
All right. Would you, Dom? Okay, you have to stay in a cabin for 1 month.
Mm-hmm.
You will have food, water, firewood, but no internet, cell phone, or TV. On the last day, you walk out with $100,000. Would you do it?
Yes, yes. Can I bring books? If I can bring books to just read, I'm fine. Because I'm a homebody, I can stay at home and relax and be completely
fine. What if you can't? What if you can't take anything with you? You just have your food, water, firewood, but nothing else.
Oh man, that's a month of solitude with nothing to really entertain me. That's
yep.
I would definitely give it a try.
Like, I would
$100,000.
Hey, like I could do that all day long. Yeah. Like I'm an only child. I enjoy being by myself. I enjoy my peace and solitude to myself.
That's what I said. I'm a homebody. It's funny. My mom always said that, like, had she had any of her other children first, she probably wouldn't have had kids because
right.
I was a lie.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I was a very easy child to take care
right.
of because, like, I wasn't always trying to go out. I wasn't sneaking out. I was
right.
like, no, I'm chilling in my room, playing my game, watching a movie. I'm chilling. I'm good.
All right. So I got my tickets the other day. So I'm going Saturday night to the IMAX to see Mission Ridiculous.
Okay.
Now, I love the Mission Impossible movies.
Yes.
And again, Tom Cruise is I was reading a really good article in, I want to say it was Variety. I think it was Variety. I don't think it was Vogue. I think it was Variety about Tom Cruise and just his appeal. And they were talking to different PR firms and stuff like that. And look, he's a kook. I mean, let's not get it twisted. Yeah. I mean, he's a kook. He's a Scientologist and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But he is money at the box office, okay, as testament to how big that Top Gun 2 was this past year, which was filmed 4 years ago, right? And again, this Mission Impossible movie, it's gonna do all kinds of records. By the way, I have no desire, and I'm the biggest Indiana Jones fan, I have no desire to see this Indiana Jones movie. Like, I know I'm going to pay $25 and be thoroughly disappointed in it.
Abe said he was cool with it.
Yeah, because he likes every movie. He's a dope. He likes every movie, okay? Again, he's got no filter for, you know, bad movies and good movies. But I'm not only going, but I'm going to the IMAX to watch Mission Impossible. So,
you got to. You
so
got to.
With that, tonight's top 10 list. Made this easy for you. Top 10 favorite Tom Cruise movies. Dom, the floor is yours.
Close, similar names.
I
get it.
Yes.
Top 10. So I did a little bit of a cheat and I just put all of the Mission Impossibles together. Like, I just kind of lumped
okay.
just because that would be six of my spots, of the 10 spots.
You know, I don't really like the second one all that much. That's the John Woo film.
Yeah.
It's kind of hokey.
Mm-hmm.
The third one isn't bad. I don't like the villain just because what's his name? The guy who died here a few years ago. Philip Seymour Hoffman.
Oh, gotcha.
You know, he's not a very intimidating guy or anything like that. But but there are some really cool scenes in the third one. So I can get that, but I had to separate mine because there are
aren't
as good, I think, in the series.
All right. So at number 10 I have Top Gun 2.
Mm-hmm.
At number 9, I have The Outsiders.
Oh, okay, nice.
At number 8, I have Interview with a Vampire.
Yeah, I think that's a very underrated movie.
Love
like,
that
I
film.
I think him and Brad Pitt are really good in that movie.
Fantastic.
Yeah, and actually Kirsten Dunst steals the show.
She's
in
fantastic.
That movie. Yeah, she's really good in that movie.
I have at 7, A Few Good Men.
Yes.
I have at 6, a little bit of a, I don't know how other people feel about this film, but I really like his movie Minority Report.
I like that movie. It's a Spielberg movie.
Yes.
It is very Spielberg-esque,
yes,
I will say
yes.
that.
But I remember always enjoying that movie, especially when I was younger. At number 5, I have Jerry Maguire.
Mm-hmm.
At number 4, Tropic Thunder. He is steals the show. And what is a very funny film and one of my favorite comedies, he steals the show. He's fantastic.
Yeah, what is it? Les Goldman that
yes.
he plays. He
yes.
plays the... He plays the agent or... he's a Hollywood agent.
He's the Hollywood...
No,
he's the basically the guy that's
back in the movie. He's the executive producer.
Yes,
executive producer. Yes.
Yes. At 3, I just put Mission Impossible. That's all of them just lumped together. At number 2, I have Edge of Tomorrow. Edge of Tomorrow is the movie that he did a few years ago.
Was that with Emily Blunt?
Yes.
Okay.
That movie is fantastic. And then, of course, at number 1, I have Top Gun.
All right. So, in no particular order, I've got both Top Gun and Top Gun 2, mm-hmm. and I remember when the original came out. So,
yeah,
I'm very fond of that movie. I love Risky Business, and that's one of his early movies. Mm-hmm. Very underrated. I like the guy who played Booger in Revenge of the Nerds. That's also in that movie. He was also in the TV show Moonlighting. He was the detective. Not Bruce Willis, but he was the detective who was in love with the secretary or whatever like that. Can't remember what that guy's name is, but that's a good movie. Collateral, him and Jamie Foxx. I thought he was fantastic in Collateral. That's a really good mm-hmm. movie. Michael Mann, that's the guy who did the Miami Vice TV show. He did the Miami Vice movie too. That was crap. But Michael Mann, Michael Mann did Manhunter. That's the original movie that has. What's his name? Who's the cannibal? Hannibal Lecter. That Manhunter. Manhunter has the original version of Hannibal Lecter in it. That's Brian Cox that plays Hannibal Lecter in that movie.
Yeah.
I've got Mission Impossible, and I still think that Mission Impossible, the first one, is the best one. And I love that movie. That's from one of my favorite directors of all time, Brian De Palma. I love Brian De Palma movies. But I still think the first Mission Impossible movie is the best one.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you what my second favorite is. It's Ghost Protocol. The one that has Jeremy Renner in it.
Ghost Protocol is great.
And also, what's her name? Paula Patton? No, who's the guy that...
You mean Robin Thicke's ex-wife?
Yes. Paula Patton?
I believe so.
Yeah, Paula Patton.
Paula Patton, yes.
Yeah, she looks pretty good in that movie.
Yeah,
so,
she does.
But I really like that movie. Mm-hmm. A Few Good Men, obviously. Yeah. That's a fantastic movie. War of the Worlds.
War of the Worlds, not a bad one.
Yeah, and I think that's a Spielberg movie as well, right? I think that's Steven Spielberg that directed that movie as well.
It feels like a Spielberg movie, but I think it is
a Spielberg movie.
Yeah.
So, and then I think a couple of underrated movies in a mm-hmm. way. One is not so underrated, but this first one, The Firm. You ever seen The Firm?
I haven't seen
The John Grisham.
I know of it. I haven't seen it.
Okay, I think it's a really good flick. I mean, and Ed Harris and Wilford Brimley and the actors that are in it play really good. And Hal Holbrook, mm-hmm. There's like really good acting in it. But it's a good flick. If you like John Grisham at all, it's a very interesting flick. Gene Hackman mm-hmm. is in it as well, so I love him. And then one of my absolute favorites, and this is so 80s pop culture for me, but Cocktail. I can recite so many lines from that movie. Again, I always use the line that Tom Cruise had in that movie, Coughlin's Law, nothing ever ends well or it wouldn't end.
Yep.
You know, and so, I love Cocktail. That's one of those 80s. It's Kokomo. Has a great soundtrack to it. Kokomo, the Georgia Satellites are on it. The Fabulous Thunderbirds are on that soundtrack as well. A lot of good music on that, but it's pure 80s, just kind of pop and stuff like that, so I enjoy that one as well. All right, when we get back, Kurt Heelan caught up with us earlier in the show. What he had to say about the Hawks and the NBA offseason thus far, as he's at summer camp currently. Chuck Green, the Kia Studios, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, and the Odyssey.com app.
Now, more of the John Chuckery Show.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Talk to our buddy Kurt Heelan, lead NBA writer, managing editor for NBC Sports. You can follow him on his personal Twitter page at Basketball Talk. And Kurt, I'm guessing that you are at some summer league action, are you not?
I am. I am actually in the Thomas and Mack right now, trying to get to a slightly quieter place somewhere. But yeah, I'm here.
So appreciate the time as always, Kurt. Let's start with the Atlanta Hawks, obviously here. And you know, look, You and I specifically have talked about this, about the DeJounte Murray deal. And I really like the fact that they offered him a veteran max. They didn't monkey around. They didn't try to nickel and dime. They wanted him here. He wanted to be here. I think this is a win-win all the way around, to where now it can be just about basketball and all of the other narratives are behind this team now.
Yeah, and I think you combine that with a new coaching staff, kind of a new feeling and direction, and it just gives them a chance to reset this thing and get it to work in a way it just kind of didn't last year. And, hey, at this point, see what does work, see what doesn't work. You know, kind of weirdness with John Collins is gone. Just get it all reset, and then, hey, if it's not working, you assess where you got to go from there. But I think whatever's going to happen, there's a good chance Murray's a part of it.
So, you know, the other name that we've been hearing a lot of is Pascal Siakam, who, you know, there's been rumors of him linked to the Atlanta Hawks. But I'm going to ask you this question. Does it make a whole lot of sense that if you're going to turn back around and he's going to become an unrestricted free agent at the end of the year, are you going right back down into another financial hole, or is the risk worth it to just bring a guy in on the final year of a contract and see if you can make a real run at this thing?
Well, I think that conversation has to start with ownership to a degree, just because of the cost. So Siakam, there's some fans who are going to be a little surprised with. He's a max guy. He is a borderline All-NBA player. He just missed out this year, has made it in the past. He absolutely can be one of the two best players on a very good team. He's a two-way player. And I think people just haven't seen as much of him because it's not good for ratings numbers to put Toronto on American television. So we don't see him that much if you're not watching newscasts. And he's that good. But I think the financial part of that is that if you're going to combine him with Trey / DeJounte Murray, I mean, however you're going to, under the new CBA, you wouldn't be able to keep all three of them. So suddenly you're kind of dancing around whatever you think that looks like. You're making a huge commitment. And I guess, do you feel that that's the better match for what you want to be? Is it because a guard and a wing, basically, in Siakam, a better fit than the two guards? And it kind of depends on the player and what they want to do, but if you feel the guards aren't working, then there are worse players to bring in, but you kind of nailed it. If you bring him in, you're basically committing, because it's going to cost a fair amount to trade for him, you're committing to pay for him.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, the other question becomes, too, is, you know, this is where my frustration lies, is I understand trading John Collins. I've got no problem with that and trying to get under the luxury tax in different things. But every other move that they have made thus far is still about the same thing. It's about saving money. It's about luxury tax. It's about cap space. It's not about it. So far, every move that they've made, whether it's Ty Washington or Patty Mills or Rudy Gay, has been all about saving money. It's not been about making the basketball team better. And I do wonder, and look, I've repeatedly said this, you know, I think, you know, you and I have discussed this specifically. I think they're by and large going to run this thing back and try to separate themselves a little bit in the luxury tax, knowing that they've got a player that's going to get $120 million for the next 4 years now, combined with their Supermax player.
Yeah, and they're not going to be the only team running a little scared of the new CBA, a little scared of the tax. I think that this thing, the way it was set up, was not just to put in financial penalties, because the problem was, with Steve Ballmer and with Brooklyn until it fell apart there and they had to trade everybody. Golden State with the cash cow that is the Chase Center. It just didn't work. Like, they were just, there's owners and there'll be new owners coming in who are just willing to pay that, but Matt Ishbia is kind of doing that whole, hey, whatever it takes. Like, let's see if we can what second apron on the luxury tax? Let's just go. We'll see how that works out. I think there's a lot more owners who are looking at that thing. I don't want to pay that. And once we do, we lose. You can't be giving away exception. You can't be guys in the buyout. You can't be limits what you can do with trade. Once you do all that, it really limits how you can build a team. So I think there's just a lot of teams. I think that's going to become a de facto hard cap. And they're not going to be the only team trying to figure out how to dance around that. And like I said, dancing around that just means figuring out what system you're going to play, and then who are the best players you can get to fit into that? Because you're going to have to, your superstars are going to have to be really compatible.
Kurt Helin, lead NBA writer for NBCSports.com, joining me on the WadeFort.com hotline. Let's bounce around the league a little bit. Obviously, look, the Dame Lillard thing has been very interesting because a couple of weeks ago, this was a done deal, him going to Miami. And now we're seeing that the general manager is coming out and saying, okay, this could take months or whatever like that. Is Dame Lillard willing to wait months? Or, you know, again, if he doesn't get his right team, like how is this going to play itself out?
I'm sorry, you broke up there a little on me. You were talking about the Lillard situation?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, again, if he doesn't, if the GM is saying that this could take months, well, I mean, and Dame Lillard doesn't get the team that he wants, you know, how is this all going to play out then? I mean, I don't, again, nothing ends well or it wouldn't end, according to Tom Cruise and Cocktail, but I don't see how any of this, you know, works itself out to where he gets what he wants and the Blazers get what they want.
First, I'm agreeing with you on that part. I don't think everybody's going to get what they want. Ultimately, though, I think he ends up in Miami, and it's less about the posturing by his agent or anything else. And the fact that there's not really a market for Lillard outside of Miami. Because everybody likes to talk about, hey, what if Brooklyn throws some of their picks in and they trade for him? But Brooklyn with Dame Lillard is Portland and East.
Yeah.
And it's kind of the same with Utah, right? Like, they're not, those two teams get Lillard and they're not contenders. They're good, they're better. They're good playoff teams, but they're not a threat to win at all. And so I don't know how many teams are going to take on $200+ million over 4 years and pay him $63 million when he's 36 years old to be good. But that's just, nobody's going to do that. So if that's not what's happening, I got a feeling you're going to see a lot. I got a feeling Miami's the only team in a position where he legitimately makes them probably the favorites in the East. And so teams are willing to pay that. Or they're willing to pay that. They'll work a third team into the deal so Tyler Hero ends up somewhere else. But I just don't see another option other than he ultimately ends up there. And Portland gets back less than they were hoping, which, hey, maybe they should have traded him when he was at the peak of his value a couple of years ago.
Yeah. So what's been the player reaction to this NBA in-season tournament that's going to come starting in November? I look at this thing, Kurt, and I'm just like, I mean, are we, you know, this is becoming Doink the Clown, and it's 1995 WWE with all the gimmicks that they're throwing in here.
I honestly, publicly right now, everybody's just kind of saying the same thing, which is, even privately, ranging from whatever, that's fine, to I'll give it a shot. Just, I will say this, for how they've arranged it, for everything they've done, it's one extra game for two teams. Like, they've just kind of integrated it into the regular season so it's not disruptive. And so players have been told, hey, this could be really good for league revenue. This could be really good for our revenue. If this takes off, you can sell it almost as a separate package to a broadcast or at least the final couple of games. And this will bring in, basically, if it brings in more revenue, that's more money that just ends up in the players' pockets. So let's all give this a shot. And that's just kind of where everybody is. Whether fans care, that's the million-dollar question. I'll ask you. I mean, when we get to November, I imagine that you're going to spend several segments. You're not going to talk about the Falcons quarterback situation. You're going to be talking about how the Hawks are doing in the tournament, right?
Yeah, I mean, we're going to be breaking it down step by step, Kurt. You know, we're going to be going 9-man deep into the in-season tournament in November when there's 8,000 games to still be played in the NBA, right? We're going to be diving into that tournament.
Yeah, I think that's the $1 million thing. Here's the thing. It is baked in, and we've talked about this, in my mind, it is baked into the soccer fan, the English, European soccer fan, worldwide soccer fan mentality. And I'm a soccer fan. I watch FA Cup games. I love Champions League. But you know why those things are so, part of the reason those things are so important? You don't have playoffs.
Yeah.
You have a regular season, and your regular season qualifies you for Champions League next year or, you know, UEFA Cup or whatever. Like, this is the playoffs for them. We've got playoffs, so we'll see. I'm just not sold that the American sports fan's going to buy in the same way, but we'll see.
Last question with just about a minute to go, and Kurt Helin joining us here on the waitfor.com hotline. Wemby going to play just the two games here in the summer league. It seems like that this was always the plan, and it seems like a lot of guys now that are top draft picks are going to be sitting a little bit through summer league. So, again, did we learn anything in his two games? Or, I mean, you know, how much do we take from his two games in summer league?
Yeah, the top players, either returning or new or just drafted, are basically all going to play two games, and whether that's Wemby or Scoot Henderson or, like, I don't know, returning stars like Jabari Parker or something. Two games and they're out. That's kind of how it's going to go. And if you're not standing out, if you're Jaden Ivey, who has really not looked great for Detroit, I mean, looks good, but not as good as you'd hope, it's almost more concerning. I think that's just the way of the world now. Summer League becomes about checking out guys who are going to be on your G League team and the end of the bench, and a lot of guys who are going to be playing in Europe. And once you get past this first weekend, the shine comes off of it a little bit. And it's still a really cool event. You should absolutely come out if you're a fan sometime. But in terms of the biggest stars, it's not the same. And this is just how it's going to be now, because they've got so much invested in a guy like Wemby, they're not going. Like, they're not going to risk it.
Kurt Helin is the lead NBA writer, managing editor for NBCSports.com. You can follow him on his personal Twitter page, @BasketballTalk, and he joined me here on the WaitFor.com hotline. Kurt, don't lose all of your money while you're out in Vegas. So, and listen, we will talk to you again here soon.
I don't really have that much money to lose anymore, but yeah, that's, I will try not.
Thanks, Kurt, as always. Appreciate it, buddy.
Take care, man.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Don't let the holidays derail your fitness. Stay on track with Hydro. 20 minutes rowing on a Hydro targets 86% of your muscles, as Olympians guide you from incredible locations worldwide. Running can't compete. That's why 90% stick with Hydro a year later. GQ named the Hydro Arc the best rower of 2025. And every Hydro comes with free shipping, a 30-day trial, and warranty. Go to Hydro.com code FIT and save up to $600 on your next Hydro. Hydro.com, code FIT.
United Healthcare nurse Crystal checked in on a patient.
We do a routine call after surgery, and I could tell in her voice that she was struggling.
Crystal knew she needed help.
And I knew that this is very serious. This is like septic. This is life-threatening.
And she knew just what to do.
And I called the hospital and said, she's coming in. Here are her labs.
And got her the help she needed.
I see my role at United Healthcare as a life-saving role.
Hear more stories like Crystal's at UHC.com. Benefits, features, and or devices vary by plan area. Limitation and exclusions apply.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus. From Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them. And you really have to know them to break them.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman, new season, streaming November 16th, only on Paramount Plus.
Now, more of the John Chuckery Show.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Talk to our buddy Kurt Nealon, lead NBA writer, managing editor for NBC Sports. You can follow him on his personal Twitter page, at Basketball Talk. And Kurt, I'm guessing that you are at some summer league action, are you not?
I am. I am actually in the Thomas and Mack right now trying to get to a slightly quieter place somewhere. But, yeah, I'm here.
So, appreciate the time as always, Kurt. Let's start with the Atlanta Hawks, obviously, here. And, you know, look, you and I specifically have talked about this, about the DeJounte Murray deal. And I really like the fact that they offered him a veteran max. They didn't monkey around. They didn't try to nickel and dime. They wanted him here. He wanted to be here. I think this is a win-win all the way around, to where now it can be just about basketball and all of the other narratives are behind this team now.
Yeah, and I think you combine that with a new coaching staff, kind of a new feeling and direction. And it just gives them a chance to reset this thing and get it to work in a way it just kind of didn't last year. And, hey, at this point, see what does work, see what doesn't work. You know, kind of weirdness with John Collins is gone. Just get it all reset. And then, hey, if it's not working, you assess where you got to go from there. But I think whatever's going to happen, there's a good chance Murray's a part of it.
So, you know, the other name that we've been hearing a lot of is Pascal Siakam, who, you know, there's been rumors of him linked to the Atlanta Hawks. But I'm going to ask you this question. Does it make a whole lot of sense that if you're going to turn back around and he's going to become an unrestricted free agent at the end of the year, are you going right back down into another financial hole? Or is the risk worth it to just bring a guy in on the final year of a contract and see if you can make a real run at this thing?
Well, I think that conversation has to start with ownership to a degree, just because of the cost. So Siakam, there's some fans who are going to be a little surprised with. He's a max guy. He is a borderline All-NBA player. He just missed out this year, has made it in the past. He absolutely can be one of the two best players on a very good team. He's a two-way player. And I think people just haven't seen as much of him because it's not good for ratings numbers to put Toronto on American television. So we don't see him that much if you're not watching newscasts. And he's that good. But I think the financial part of that is that if you're going to combine him with Trey/DeJounte Murray, I mean, however you're going to, under the new CBA, you wouldn't be able to keep all three of them. So suddenly you're kind of dancing around whatever you think that looks like. you're making a huge commitment, and I guess is that a? I guess the question to you is: do you feel that that's the better match for what you want to be? Is it a guard and a wing, basically, in Siakam, a better fit than the two guards? And kind of depends on the player and what they want to do. But if you feel the guards aren't working, then there are worse players to bring in. But you kind of nailed it. If you bring him in, you're basically committing, because it's going to cost a fair amount to trade for him, you're committing to pay for him.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, the other question becomes, too, is, you know, this is where my frustration lies is I understand trading John Collins. I mean, I've got no problem with that and trying to get under the luxury tax and different things. But every other move that they have made thus far is still about the same thing. It's about saving money. It's about luxury tax. It's about cap space. It's not about it. So far, every move that they've made, whether it's Ty Washington or Patty Mills or Rudy Gay, has been all about saving money. It's not been about making the basketball team better. And I do wonder, and look, I've repeatedly said this, you know, I think, you know, you and I have discussed this specifically. I think they're by and large going to run this thing back and try to separate themselves a little bit in the luxury tax, knowing that they've got a player that's going to get $120 million for the next 4 years now, combined with their Supermax player.
Yeah, and they're not going to be the only team running a little scared of the new CBA, a little scared of the tax. I think that this thing, the way it was set up, was not just the put in financial penalties, because the problem was with Steve Ballmer and with, well, Brooklyn until it fell apart there and they had to trade everybody. Golden State was the cash cow that is the Chase Center. It just didn't work. Like, they were just, there's owners and there'll be new owners coming in who are just willing to pay that, but Matt Ishbia is kind of doing that whole, hey, whatever it takes. Like, let's see if we can, what second apron on the luxury tax? Let's just go. We'll see how that works out. I think there's a lot more owners who are looking at that saying, I don't want to pay that. And once we do, we lose. You can't be giving the exception. You can't be guys in the buyouts. You limit what you can do with trade. Once you do all that, it really limits how you can build a team. So I think there's just a lot of teams. I think that's going to become a de facto hard cap. And they're not going to be the only team trying to figure out how to dance around that. And like I said, dancing around that just means figuring out what system you're going to play and then who are the best players you can get to fit into that, because you're going to have to, your superstars are going to have to be really compatible.
Kurt Helin, lead NBA writer for NBCSports.com, joining me on the WadeFort.com hotline. Let's bounce around the league a little bit. Obviously, look, the Dame Lillard thing has been very interesting because a couple of weeks ago, this was a done deal, him going to Miami. And now we're seeing that the general manager is coming out and saying, okay, this could take months or whatever like that. Is Dame Lillard willing to wait months? Or, you know, again, if he doesn't get his right team, like, how is this going to play itself out?
I'm sorry, you broke up there a little on me. You were talking about the Lillard situation?
Yeah. I mean, again, if he doesn't, if the GM is saying that this could take months, well, I mean, and Dame Lillard doesn't get the team that he wants, you know, how is this all going to play out then? I mean, I don't, again, nothing ends well or it wouldn't end, according to Tom Cruise and Cocktail, but I don't see how any of this, you know, works itself out to where he gets what he wants and the Blazers get what they want.
I'm agreeing with you on that part. I don't think everybody's going to get what they want. Ultimately, though, I think he ends up in Miami, and it's less about the posturing by his agent or anything else, and the fact that there's not really a market for Lillard outside of Miami, because everybody likes to talk about, hey, what if Brooklyn throws some of their picks in and they trade for him? But Brooklyn with Dame Lillard is Portland East,
yeah.
And it's kind of the same with Utah, right? Like, they're not, those two teams get Lillard and they're not contenders. They're good, they're better. They're good playoff teams, but they're not a threat to win at all. And so I don't know how many teams are going to take on $200+ million over 4 years and pay him $63 million when he's 36 years old. be good. But that's just, nobody's going to do that. So if that's not what's happening, I got a feeling you're going to see a lot. I got a feeling Miami's the only team in a position where he legitimately makes them probably the favorites in the East. And so teams are willing to pay that. Or if they're willing to pay that, they'll work a third team into the deal so Tyler Hero ends up somewhere else. But I just don't see another option other than he ultimately ends up there. And Portland gets back less than they were hoping, which, hey, maybe they should have traded him when he was at the peak of his value a couple of years ago.
Yeah. So what's been the player reaction to this NBA in-season tournament that's going to come starting in November? I look at this thing, Kurt, and I'm just like, I mean, are we, you know, this is becoming Doink the Clown, and it's 1995 WWE with all the gimmicks that they're throwing in here.
Honestly, publicly right now, everybody's just kind of saying the same thing, which is, even privately, ranging from whatever, that's fine, to I'll give it a shot. Just, I will say this, for how they've arranged it, for everything they've done, it's one extra game for two teams. Like, they've just kind of integrated it into the regular season so it's not disruptive. And so players have been told, hey, this could be really good for league revenue. This could be really good for our revenue. If this takes off, you can sell it almost as a separate package to a broadcaster or at least the final couple of games. And this will bring in – basically, if it brings in more revenue, that's more money that just ends up in the players' pockets. So let's all give this a shot. And that's just kind of where everybody is. Whether the fans care, that's the million-dollar question. I'll ask you. I mean, when we get to November, I imagine that you're going to spend several segments. You're not going to talk about the Falcons quarterback situation. You're going to be talking about how the Hawks are doing in the tournament, right?
Yeah, I mean, we're going to be breaking it down step by step, Kurt. You know, we're going to be going 9-man deep into the in-season tournament in November when there's 8,000 games to still be played in the NBA, right? We're gonna be diving into that tournament.
Yeah, I think that's the $1 million thing. Here's the thing. It is baked in, and we've talked about this, in my mind, it is baked into the soccer fan, the English, European soccer fan, worldwide soccer fan mentality. And I'm a soccer fan. I watch FA Cup games. I love Champions League. But you know why those things are so – part of the reason those things are so important? You don't have playoffs.
Yeah.
You have a regular season, and your regular season qualifies you for Champions League next year or, you know, UEFA Cup or what. Like, this is the playoffs for them. We've got playoffs, so we'll see. I'm just not sold that the American sports fan's going to buy in the same way, but we'll see.
Last question with just about a minute to go. And Kurt Helin joining us here on the WadeFord.com hotline. Wemby going to play just the two games here in the Summer League. It seems like that this was always the plan, and it seems like a lot of guys now that are top draft picks are going to be sitting a little bit through Summer League. So, again, did we learn anything in his two games? Or, I mean, you know, how much do we take from his two games in Summer League?
Yeah, the top players, either returning or new or just drafted, are basically all going to play two games, and whether that's Wemby or Scoot Henderson or, like, I don't know, returning stars like Jabari Parker or something. Two games and they're out. That's kind of how it's going to go. And if you're not standing out, if you're Jaden Ivey, who is really not looked great for Detroit, I mean, looks good, but not as good as you'd hope, it's almost more concerning. I think that's just the way of the world now. Summer League becomes about checking out guys who are going to be on your G League team in the end of the bench and a lot of guys who are going to be playing in Europe. And once you get past this first weekend, the shine comes off of it a little bit. And it's still a really cool event. You should absolutely come out if you're a fan sometime. But in terms of the biggest stars, it's not the same. And this is just how it's going to be now because they've got so much invested in a guy like Wemby, they're not going. Like, they're not going to risk it.
Kurt Helan is the lead NBA writer, managing editor for NBCSports.com. You can follow him on his personal Twitter page, at Basketball Talk, and he joined me here on the WaitForIt.com hotline. Kurt, don't lose all of your money while you're out in Vegas. So, and listen, we will talk to you again here soon.
I don't really have that much money to lose anymore, but yeah, that's, I will try not.
Thanks, Kurt, as always. Appreciate it, buddy.
Take care, man.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Heather is a nurse practitioner from UnitedHealthcare.
We meet patients wherever they live.
During a house call, she found Jack had an issue.
Jack's blood pressure was dangerously high.
It was 217 over 110.
So they got Jack to the hospital and got him the help he needed.
He had had a stent placed in his heart, preventing a massive heart attack.
If it wasn't for my guardian angel, I wouldn't be here.
Hear more stories like Jack's at UnitedHealthcare.com. Benefits, features, and or devices vary by plan. Area limitation and exclusions apply.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes, subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus. From Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them. And you really have to know them to break them.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman, new season, streaming November 16th, only on Paramount Plus.
This NBA season, every shot you take with Fanatics Sportsbook puts points on the board. Earn up to 10% fan cash on your bets, win or lose. So even if your bet misses, you're still scoring fan cash, which unlocks exclusive rewards like authentic apparel, game tickets, and meeting legends at Fanatics events. Make the switch and turn every bet into a bucket with Fanatics Sportsbook. Winning hits different here. Must be 21 plus. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or 1-800-522-4700. MD, visit mdgamblinghelp.org. Offer not available in all states. Terms apply. See Fanatics Sportsbook app.